Okay. Hey, let's slowly get started. And yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this session, Building a Camera Application. My name is Berthier Lemieux. I work for Nokia, and I'm a technology wizard. Oh, yeah. So today we're going to talk about camera in Windows Phone 8. First, we'll look at the hardware. What kind of camera modules, and especially the Nokia PureView cameras. The Nokia PureView cameras are really the best of the best, la crème de la crème, when it comes to imaging quality on a mobile device. So we'll look at that a little bit. Then we'll move on, we'll move to the software side and look at the APIs that you can use to communicate with a camera and to capture image, record video, and build your application. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on that section where I'm going to fire up Visual Studio and I'm going to write up a project from scratch. Finally, we'll look how you can improve the visibility to your application using the integration points that the Windows Phone 8 platforms offers you. By the way, I'm talking all the time. I'll be talking about all the time about camera application. It's sort of a shortcut. What I really mean is an application that uses the camera in one way or the other. It could be an application that captures an image, records a video, but it can be something completely different, like a barcode reader or a mirror or something that makes you look different when you look at your phone. Another thing I need to tell here is that we do have 5 devices to give away today. And I've been perfect. I don't really know how I'm going to do that, but I probably will. The best question at the end of my presentation will get the devices. Let's try to do something like that. And if there's not enough questions, then I'll keep them for myself. All right, let's get started. I don't know if anyone here in this room remembers this phone. Oh, there's a few hands that are raised around. It's the Nokia 7650, and it's a long time ago. It was launched in 2001. And that product was really important for Nokia. It was a key milestone for Nokia because it was the first mobile phone with integrated camera that Nokia ever shipped. So that was our first camera device. And if you open, so it's a nice slider. It's a bit more chubby or chubbier than the phones nowadays. But yeah, if you open the slide, it's going to reveal this camera, which is a great FPGA resolution camera. Not by today's standards, not too impressive. But back then, there were really, really few, only a few phones that did had camera integrated. And that one was a great one. So we really liked that product. We really liked the idea of having a camera in a mobile phone device. So we kept on investing. We kept on putting our R&D money on the camera and on the imaging. And years after years, we improved the camera and we introduced new innovations and all that. And it slowly grew up on us. And it slowly, time after time, it became part of our DNA at Nokia. And nowadays, the cameras are really key part of our offering, our devices. Just think about our brand new device, the Lumia 928. That device really screams imaging. It's all about imaging. I have here a short promo video, and I think if you listen carefully, you're gonna hear the screams, the imaging screams of that device. Did you hear it? It's really all about imaging, that device. It's the Lumia 928, and it's on sales now in the US. It's a Verizon exclusivity. And it's one. It has one of our PureView cameras. As you saw, it's really full pack with software that are around camera. There's panorama applications, smart shoot, cinemagraph application, all built in. And then the great PureView camera. The PureView camera is an 8.7 megapixel sensor. It has Carl Zeiss lenses, and there's this floating lens technology that we introduced with this and pioneered with the PureView cameras. The floating lens technologies are damping out or removing the handshakes or the small movements when you hold the device. And because we can remove that movement, it's possible to use a longer exposure time when you capture an image. And just the normal physics of imaging, if you can have a longer exposure, there's more light that hits your camera sensor, and with that you get just better low light images. The floating lenses also helps with video because it's removing the handshakes, so your videos are smoother and much nicer to watch. We do have two other PureView cameras in our portfolio. There's the Lumia 925, great aluminum body. That one started sales, I think, just 2 weeks ago in Germany, but slowly coming here in the US. And then the Lumia 920, that one you perhaps have seen before. It has been around for a little bit longer. These three cameras share, these three phones share the same camera, the same 8.7 megapixel camera. And from a software perspective for developers, they are really, really similar. So you won't see any differences between these three devices whenever you write your applications. Okay, so I think Nokia nailed down the hardware. At least we have the greatest camera sensors out there. What about the APIs? What can you do with that great camera hardware? Well, guys at Microsoft did a great job with the camera APIs as well. So there's really a lot of opportunities and things you can do with those APIs. I think here it would be interesting if I just use a real device and show you some of the things, some of the use cases that are enabled by the Windows Phone 8. Let me switch on here to my device. Whoops. So that's the Lumia 925 here that I have. And well, you would expect that from the basic from the APIs, you can do the basic stuff. So I'm going to take a picture of you using the built-in camera. Yeah, hello. I'm going to send that to mommy. Yeah. So that's something you can do. You probably noticed that there's a touch to focus here, so that's something you can do as well as a developer. So you can define where you want to focus. The focus will be done there, and the image will be captured. One of the great new feature of Windows Phone 8 is the camera lenses. There's this little button here with the two arrows over here, and if I press that, I get a list, I get a grid of all the applications installed on my device that I've registered as camera lenses. And your applications can be there as well. So it's open for third parties. And from here, I can just launch any application. So it makes it easy for the end users to go and launch a camera-related application. There's some familiar faces on that grid here. There's CinemaGraph, Nokia Panorama, Nokia Smart Shoot. We also saw those in the video that I've played. We could try the CinemaGraph. Let's just give it a shot. It's a good example. We saw first that, okay, you can capture still images. You can also, with those APIs, capture few frames in a row and do something interesting with them. So I'm going to capture a few frames in a row with CinemaGraph. I'm not going to do something interesting, but I'm just going to count here. 5. Now CinemaGraph will process those images. So here I've captured several images in a row, not too fast, not too near each other. And now CinemaGraph took all those pictures, made some complex calculation, and tried to align all the pictures because I've moved while I was capturing those images. And that's the end result. So I have an animation. I can play with it. The CinemaGraph allows to play with it, but that's not what I want to show here. I just want to save this. But just to highlight that you can capture several images in a row. Something you'll probably do or want to do more often is to take the data that comes from the camera, the viewfinder data, and process it in one of your libraries in a live manner. So every camera frames, you process it in your library, and perhaps you look for, whoops, let me not move to that too much. Perhaps you're gonna search for faces. You're going to search for edges or objects in your image and do something on the screen. And that's something you can do with Windows Phone 8 APIs also. There's a good example here, the Microsoft PhotoSynth application. So I can use that. There's a viewfinder, and I can just paint my panorama here. And it's going to stitch all the images together. And then I get this very nice 3D view of my panorama, and I can zoom in. So it's a nice application of object detection when using the viewfinder data. One last example of what you can do with using live viewfinder data is augmented reality. Everyone wants to do the augmented reality nowadays, and Microsoft did a really great application here, the translator. I've set it from English to French, and if I point to a text here, speaker, then it finds that there's a word, it's going to look for the translation, and then just display the word on top of the original word, which speaker is conférencier in French. So it's a cool augmented reality that you can download from the Windows Store. Whoops. So those are sort of typical use cases that you could do with the Windows Phone APIs. One last thing I want to show is, okay, we've captured a few images during the last few minutes. This one was captured with PhotoSynth. This one was captured with CinemaGraph. And you see that in the camera roll, I get this caption that says, captured with somebody's name or some application name. And this is a feature called the rich media applications. And that's also something that you can do in your application. So you can subscribe or you can define that your application is a rich media application. It's going to show the same caption to all the images that you're publishing to the camera roll. All your images will have that caption right below the picture. And then the user, with one single click, can start the application. So now I started from a still image that was in the camera roll, and one click I get into the CinemaGraph application, and I get back my animated GIF that I created a little bit earlier. I think the rich media apps are really a cool thing. First of all, because your name is there, so a lot of visibility for your app, and especially if you do a great job at capturing an image, your images are really stunning and great looking, then having your name under it is really cool. From what I've seen, from my experience, this is an overlooked feature of Windows Phone 8, so not everyone is taking that into use, even though that we're talking here about 4 or 5 lines of code. It's really simple to do. So those are the use cases that are enabled by, or some of the use cases that are enabled by the Windows Phone APIs. I'd like to go and dive into those APIs with you in the next few minutes. When it comes to capturing an image or capturing a video, there's practically 3 main classes that you're going to use: the photo capture device, the audio video capture device, and the photo chooser task. If you want to capture an image, go with the photo capture device, a video with the audio video capture device. Both of these APIs, the photo and the audio video capture device, are really similar. So once you know one of them, the other one is coming just really naturally. That's easy. I'm going to do a project with you right after the next slide that's going to use the photo capture device. The photo chooser task is in the case that you don't have time or it's not that important for you how the capture looks like, the capture UI looks like. So you can use the photo chooser task. It's just going to use the system launcher, the system chooser, and the user will be able to capture to select which images he wants, or is going to be able to capture a new image. And when the selection is done, you get the control back. Your application gets the control back, and you can do whatever you want with that image. So let's look at it, how it is done from the code standpoint. I said very simple, you just knew a photo chooser task. You hook the completed event with one of your callbacks and call the show on the task. At that point, you lose the control. The system chooser takes over. The user will see an image like that one, a UI like that one. He's going to select his picture, say OK, and then you get your callback. One of the parameters is photo result. From the photo result parameter, you can see if the user has completed the selection or did he cancel. But if he can, if he completed the selection, the chosen photo property will be there, and then you can use it in your app to do whatever you want with that image. In this case, I've created a bitmap image. The photo capture device offers you. So now we're going back to the first API, the photo capture device. That API offers you a great deal of control over the capture parameters. Here's some example of the parameters that you can change: the autofocus range, the preview resolution, the exposure time. You can go up to 4 seconds on the PureView cameras. That's quite a long time. The ISO setting, 3,200, pretty high ISO setting. But look, you can change all of these parameters. And what I want to do now is a small project where we're going to use the manual focus position property or parameter, which is where is the lens that does the focus. And we're going to change that position so that we can change where the focus is done. Let me show you. How that application will look like. The final application will look like, not like this. Like this, perhaps. So, really simple. I have a slider and I can select where I'm going to do the focus. So here, or if I'm nearby, I can focus far. So very trivial, but because this is a level 200 presentation and I think not everyone has coded for Windows Phone, I'm going to go very slowly and start from the very beginning to do my application. So first, I'm going to create a new project. It's a Windows Phone app project, and it's going to be called Windows Phone App 38. Perhaps from that, you can see how many times I've practiced my project. So now the Visual Studio made a nice template, created all the files I needed. The first thing you would do when you create a camera application is probably going to the manifest file. It's here under properties, and that's where you define the name of your application, what are the tiles that you're going to use, what kind of icons the application will use. But I'm not going to change that here. But I'm going to go to the capabilities, and I'm going to check mark the ISV camera. Basically, that's saying to the OS that I'm going to use the camera and ask the user the permission to use the camera. Then I'm moving on to the requirements tab. The requirements tab is for you as a developer. It's a way how to tell the Windows Phone Store that, by the way, my application absolutely requires a certain hardware feature. And if a device, for a reason or another, doesn't have that hardware, don't propose my application to that device. Don't show my application. Don't allow it to be installed so you don't get those crazy one-stars rating because the camera application didn't work, but you have a device that doesn't have a camera. That won't happen, but you need to make sure that you tell it to the Windows Phone Store. So that's what I'm going to do here. Check mark to the rear camera. Then let's move on and let's set up the viewfinder So we had a live viewfinder displayed on the screen. Let's set up that. I'm going to change the orientation of my XAML to landscape here. It's really up to you. You could have also an application that supports both the portrait and the landscape orientation. Users likes quite a lot the portrait because it's really familiar way how to hold your device. But because of the shutter button, sometimes it just makes sense to force it in the landscape orientation. So I'm going to do that here. I want to have a full screen application, so I'm going to get rid of the system tray, the thing at the right, left-hand side here. And I'm going to get rid of most of the stuff that the template put in there for me, just because I want a full screen viewfinder. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to define a rectangle, and I'm going to make it so that it takes the full, all the screen space that is available. And I'm going to fill the rectangle with my viewfinder data. Normally, when you fill some shapes, you would use a solid color brush and you would put a color here, let's say azure, since we're in build. So now you can see here that my viewfinder, my rectangles really covers the whole screen. But I don't want to use a solid color brush. What I want to do is really my viewfinder data. So I'm going to use instead a video brush. I'm going to give it a name called viewfinder brush. And with my code behind, I'm going to tell to that viewfinder brush that the source of the brush is a camera. So that's what we're going to do next. We're going to fire up the camera, switch on the camera, and then pass it to the viewfinder brush. So now I'm in my code behind. I'm going to need two private members in my class. I have them here. And one of the private member is the camera. This is the camera member. And it has a type of photo capture device. So that's really the APIs that we're interested in, that API that allows us to talk with the camera. Now, IntelliSense doesn't know where to find my photo capture device, so I'm going to do a control dot, which will find the namespace where that class lives in. It's quite interesting. So it's coming from Windows Phone Media Capture. There's quite a lot of information coming from that namespace. First of all, Windows. Windows tells you that, hey, this is not .NET API. This is an API coming from the Windows Phone runtime. And the Windows Phone runtime APIs, you can use them both from the native side and the managed side. So you can use them from C# or from C++. So these APIs, this specific API, the photo capture device, can be used both from C# and C++. The second part of the path, or the namespace, the phones tells you that, hey, this is Windows Phone specific API. So that's not going to work on the big Windows. In my constructor, I won't do anything. I'm just going to wait that I'm loaded. And once I'm loaded, I'm going to ask the system, what are the resolutions that are supported by this device? What are the captured resolutions that are supported by this device? I'm going to call a static function, static method, on the photo capture device. And it takes as a parameter the location of the sensor, which is back. As you will notice as we go on with this example, the photo capture device has a lot of static methods. That's the way. You just need to remember that. You don't need to know it in most of the cases. So now that get available captured resolution returns me an array of all the resolutions supported by my device. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to fire up the camera, reserve it for me, switch it on, make it ready for display on the screen. And I'll do all that through the open async operation. It's on the photo capture device, and it's called open async. And two parameters, again, the sensor location. I'm going to use the back one. And then the resolution I want to use by default, I'm going to use the one with index 0 from the resolution array. Now, this is an async call, so I'm going to have to await it. And I want to assign that to my camera member. So now I have a camera that is up and running. And the only thing left before I have a functional viewfinder is to hook that camera into my viewfinder brush that I've defined in my XAML code. And my viewfinder brush was here, and I'm going to call set source on it. And now I get only two overloads. None of those use or accept photo capture device. So there's a little trick that you need to know, that there's a nice overload defined in the Microsoft.devices namespace. So now I have four overloads, and one of them will use a camera. Good. So now we have up and running viewfinder, and I guess that you're not going to trust me if I tell you that it's up and running, so I'll just fire up. I'll just deploy it on a device and let you see it. So here I have my device, the same one I've had earlier. But there's a little technical problem in my setup. I'm sharing my screen here. I cannot deploy to this device. It's just a problem for a presenter like me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to use this highly technical piece of equipment that I did back home. And I'm going to use this device, so the device that you see on screen, use it as a camera. I'm going to put it in here, like this. Now I have a camera. And I'm going to deploy to this device here that I'm going to film with the other camera. Here you go. We're all set up now. High-tech a la Finlandaise. Yes, so let's deploy this thing. So to the device. Yep, I don't want to miss this. So now it's deployed. I started. It's deploying, and now loading. And here we go. I have a viewfinder, and it's really working, so I can even show that I'm not lying here. Whoop, this way. Cool. So I have the viewfinder up and running. Now let's hook in the focus slider. So if you recall, I had a focus slider there where I could select whether I focus in the near range or in the far range. So let's just hook that up to the application. So I'm going to drag in a slider to my application here. Let's make it big enough. I'm going to rotate it by this, put it here. I'm going to give a name to my slider, focus slider. And I'm going to make sure that I have a callback whenever something changes. Yes. So whenever something will change, this method will be called. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask, I have this object, the photo capture device, and I'm going to ask, what is the range that the focus can take, the focus property can take? What is the minimum? So when we are in a macro mode, what's the minimum of that value? And when we add infinity, what's the maximum of that value? And that is device dependent. So it's going to change. It might change between devices. So it's your responsibility to really ask a query the device every time. So I'm going to do that with the get supported property range. I'm passing again a sensor location here. And the property I'm interested in is in known camera general properties, and it's called the manual focus position. So that's the position of the focus lens. So that's going to return me a range. The range just contains a min and a max. And I'm going to tell to my slider that your min and your max is the min and of max of the property. So let's just do it here like this. So min and max goes to the min and max of my slider. And the final step here is to set the change the position of the focus lens when the slider is changing, when the value is changing. Now, changing the position of the lens is an asynchronous method, so I'm going to have to put my value change asynchronous, and here I'm going to put a small mutex just to avoid that I'm not calling twice. I'm not re-entering in this function. Now I'm going to set the camera. I'm going to set the property. The name of the property is the same as the one before, so it's the manual focus position. And the value of the property will be whatever comes from the slider. And finally, I just have to wait that the camera does the focus async. Like this, now we're all set up. Let's deploy to that setting, set up. Compiling, deploying. Now I have a viewfinder. And there's a slider here. Whoops. Let me get to my slider. There's a slider, and with the slider, I can now control where I'm making the focus. So the exactly same application as I've shown you previously. Good. I'm done with Visual Studio here. But hopefully now you know how to use, you have a good idea how to use the photo capture device. Yoo-hoo. So now we know how to capture an image and how to do little things like that. I want to come back to what I've shown you earlier. I've talked about the camera lenses, and I've talked about the rich media applications. And those are really good ways to improve the visibility of your application. As a reminder, the camera lenses, there was the lens button in the camera application, the built-in camera application, you press that button, you get a grid of all the apps that have registered themselves as camera lenses. And there's the rich media apps where the screen on the left, where the name of the application is displayed right under the image, and tapping that link will open your application. There's three other integration points that you can use, the share picker, the photo edit picker, and the photo app picker. I'm not going to cover them today, but go on MSDN and look at those. Any integration points to the platform is good for you. It makes the users, makes it easier for the user to get into your application. So how do you register for an application? It's really easy, but there's a little bit of magic. Yes, everybody has to be a wizard in Windows Phone. No, the magic here is just that you go on MSDN, go find the camera lenses documentation, and there's going to be this code here, the code that you see here, the XML code line. You copy these three lines of code. You go to your Windows Mobile App manifest file. You paste that into your manifest file, and that's it. You are now a camera lens. I can very briefly just show you how to do that. There's a little trick in here in Visual Studio with the manifest. So the manifest by default is open in this view. There's a UI for the manifest. But for this, because we're a wizard, there's no UI. UI are not for wizards. So you need to do view code F7. And that's going to open the manifest in the XML viewer. And here, you're just going to take the magic string, and you're going to paste it right after tokens like this, and save this, and now you're a camera lens. I'm cheating a little bit here. There's a little bit of things that you need to do also when you're called. For example, from the edit picker, the user wants to edit a certain picture, so that picture URI will be passed to you on the unnavigated event, so you need to decode what's coming from the unnavigated event and deal with it. It's all in the MSDN, and it's cut and paste magic again there. That's easy stuff. So good, now we've tried, now we wrote a camera application. You're pretty happy with your application. There's a great sensor on the device, so you capture great images. But perhaps now it's about time to publish and make money with your app. But just before you publish, we strongly recommend you to test on as many devices as you can. One of the reasons is that the image configuration, the camera configurations, varies quite a lot between the devices. And we start to have a very nice portfolio at Nokia. Now we have the 520, the 620, 720, 820, and the three PureView devices that I've introduced earlier. So it's pretty wide, and there's a lot of users, a lot of people using those. Of course, when you go down the price range, you need to do you need to save money somewhere, or you need to cut on the quality somewhere. So the megapixel count, for example, goes down a little bit when we go down the price point. Based on my experience, the megapixel count is not a problem. Nobody has a problem with that with their apps. They work just fine. But here, something worth to notice, the 520 doesn't have a flash, and the 520 doesn't have a front camera. And that's really something you need to take into account. You cannot assume that every device has a flash and have a front camera. So you need to check it in your code, make sure that is there a front camera on this device, and then do what you use that front camera if there is. Now, I know every one of you would like to get all these devices, but I only have 5 to give today, so that's not going to work out too well. But we do have this great or little service. What's going on with this? We have this service called the remote device access. And the idea behind this service is that somewhere in Finland is a big room full of Windows 4 and 8 devices. And I'm sitting just next to that room. And all those devices are connected through the internet, and you can deploy your ZAP file to these devices. So you just take your ZAP file, drag and drop it into one of the devices, and then through the web interface, you can test your application. You're going to see the same thing as, well, you're going to see the screen, and you can interact with the screen like you would with a normal device. It's free. You just need to register as a Nokia developer. And I can show you how it looks like here. So you're going to get a list of devices, and we try to keep it up to date. And as soon as a device is available on the market, we add it to our service. So now we have 520, 620, 720. Well, I think all of them are there right now. So you pick one of those. You say, I want to use it for 15 minutes. And it starts the application. You have it for 15 minutes. Deploy your ZAP file there. Try your application. And everything will go fine. And after that, you can publish your app. You can also reserve a time slot, so if the phone is not available when you need it, you can reserve it for tomorrow or the day after and try it there. Some resources, so I hope that somehow you feel like, yeah, it's not very difficult to do a camera application on Windows Phone 8. It isn't. It's easy. And if you want to start and build your own application, I don't know what about you guys, but for me, using a code sample is the best way to get started. I just look at how the things are done. I cut and paste most of the stuff in my new application, and that's really the fastest way how I get started. And these two code samples here, these two project samples, are really, really good. The basic land sample coming from Microsoft, MSDN, is not basic. It really has a lot of functionality in there. All the basic stuff that most likely your app will need will be in there. So they show you how to do the touch to focus that I already demoed before. They show you how to do a photo carousel so that you can swipe between all the photos. They show you how to do pinch to zoom, how to switch to the front camera and all that. So it's basic land sample, really good, really useful resource. And then on Nokia, we are helping our developers as well. We have a bunch of code samples. The Camera Explorer is one good example there. The Camera Explorer will show you how you change the camera parameters, how you ask the device, what are the ranges that you support, and all that. It's a good reference to get started with the camera. We're almost done now. Two things I'd like you to remember. We have the Lumias, and especially the PureView cameras, are really good cameras. And the users are buying those devices for the camera. So they are really aware that they have a great phone with a great camera, and what they want is great camera applications. They are really looking for those applications. They are really hungry to get more. So there's great opportunity there to come with some great new concept and actually be successful with your applications. You can use the extensions of the Windows Phone 8, the camera, what was that? The rich media apps and the camera lenses to improve the visibility and the discoverability of your app, so that the user will come back time and time again to your application. That's an interesting offering. And we have a booth in the big room over there, just in front of the Windows Phone booth. And come and tell us about your cool imaging apps. Nokia is really into imaging, and we always have an open ear for new ideas when it comes to images. And we are giving some devices in there. So that's it for my presentation today. I said I have five phones to offer today for the questions. So if you have any questions, please. Oh, there is one in the front. So the question is that, oh, there's too many. Okay, let's change the concept here. If you bring your card to me, your business card, and we're gonna draw those. So the question was there's a concept on the big windows that you can wave above the camera, and then it generates some, if you just... Yes, a big stack here, please. Yeah, we'll do the question, the Q&A anyway. So yes, it's possible to do with the front camera, for example, on the Windows phone. There isn't any special functionality done for you, so you need to do the detection yourself, the movement detection yourself, and you cannot generate events for all the other applications, so it's just going to work inside your application, so that's sort of quite limited in that sense. Yeah, over there.
Yeah, you know, does the microphone work? Does the microphone work here?
I think it works, yeah.
Okay. You know the guiding light or something that comes up before you're taking a picture? It's like a yellow light that comes. It's not a high flashlight. I think it's called guiding light, or I don't know what exactly the term is. But my question is, that works great on the low light environment. I mean, picture looks great. But in the highlighted area, sometimes when I have a shiny object and use that low light guiding thing in there, and take a picture, it doesn't come up well. So my question is, can I somehow disable that programmatically so that guiding light doesn't come up?
Yes, it's the focus light. That's the name of the light. And it's available in the photo capture device. So you can switch it off. This.
Can the app take a picture without the picture going to the camera roll first? So, I want the app to get the picture, but I don't want it in the camera roll.
I'm not sure I understood. Could you repeat?
I want the app to take a picture and upload the picture to, a web service or something, but
yes.
I don't want the picture stored in the camera roll.
Yes, it's all up to you. So, whenever you capture an image, it comes back to your inside your memory, and it's your responsibility to save it to the camera roll. So it's not saved there automatically. So you don't need to save it to the camera roll. Over there in red.
Yes. You talked about the integration points for taking pictures. What about video capture?
For video capture, as far as I'm aware, there isn't anything.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not. It's only for still images. Over there. So the question is that does Nokia plan to have cameras or phones that would have two cameras, so you could take 3D pictures with that. Well, I cannot share any of our secret plans, but I'm sure dreaming about it every night. It's a cool feature. Yes.
So actually,
the question is, what is our take on HTC UltraPixels? I'm a technical dude, so I'm not talking for the company. So I cannot tell here, but what I can say is that the 928, so our latest device, we believe those are the best camera devices you can find on the market. So we believe we have the best camera sensors around. They're on the mic over there.
Is there any way to get multiple exposures in one picture, like HDR?
No, you only have one.
Like
exposure.
With the exposure compensation.
You can change. You can take the picture several times and then change the exposure every time. But you cannot take one picture that somehow would have
pictures.
Different stage of the exposure. In blue. Here.
Over here.
Yep. No, just there. Yep. You. So the question is how to know how to define or how to know that the time between two images or two or three images when you capture several of them to know that the time in a very accurate manner. And I haven't tried that, so I don't know, but I don't think there's a real super accurate way how to get the time.
Don't forget this side.
Where? Please do.
Hi, is it possible to capture from both cameras at the same time?
No, it's not. You need to select which camera you're using.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, at what point, I mean, the camera technology is becoming so sophisticated that these devices will be able to be used to detect medical information like an iris scan for the eye? Can the PureView have the capability to do that?
I don't know what it requires, but it has a very good macro mode, and you have 8.7 megapixels of resolution, so that I guess that's enough for retina scans. But that's something that needs to be tried. It's such a special case. Hey, here I don't want to make everyone wait for the questions, so we'll. There's some cards here. In it. You let him be pick, okay. So I have the lucky hands. This one, Marcus Ross. Oh. Murat Balsi from Qualcomm. Congrats. Kevin Tams from Extra Space Storage. what's that? Eduardo. And one left, right? One more. This one, oh yeah, that's a beautiful one. So Ashin, I give it back to you. So I'd like to thank you everyone for joining the session and go and create your apps. I'm gonna be here for the next 30 minutes, so just come nearby if you want to ask for more questions.